This is All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Israel's 50th anniversary compounds the irony of a headline that's reprinted in a new book. The headline from 1934 reads, "Greatest Event in the History of the Jewish People." It's about the election of the first government of the Jewish Autonomous Region of the Soviet Union. The JAR was the Soviet Union's official solution to what was called the Jewish problem and its answer to Zionism. This Jewish homeland had no historic Jewish ties. It was placed 5,000 miles east of Moscow near the Manchurian border, and its Jewish pioneers did not speak Hebrew. When they sang songs about a place where the air smells of milk and honey, the mechanic plays on his harmonica, and about dancing the hora on the collective farm, they sang in Yiddish. The Jewish Autonomous Region, known as Birobidzhan, astonishingly still exists. Hardly any Jews live there nowadays, but in truth, the population never seems to have been more than about 15% Jewish at any point. Birobidzhan is the subject of historian Robert Weinberg's book, Stalin's Forgotten Zion. He says the region was created by Moscow for several reasons.
First one was something about productivizing the Jewish populace. That is, Jews were seen as engaged in non-productive activities, owning stores, retail, trade, service sector, and so on. Productive labor is, you know, working with your hands. They were also interested in promoting or preserving Jewish language and culture. I have a colleague in the economics department. He remembers in the 1930s, 1940s, his uncles in Brooklyn arguing whether Jews should go to Palestine or to Birobidzhan.
Of course, the economy of Birobidzhan was not, this was no paradise.
No, the original settlers were in for a big shock. It was a fairly uninhabited territory, very marshy and swampy for the most part. Plus, there were these mosquitoes that were quite vicious, according to all the accounts.
You acknowledge in Stalin's Forgotten Zion that toward the end of Stalin's life, there were at least rumors that the Jews of Russia, the Jews of the Soviet Union, would soon be, most of them having declined to go voluntarily to the Far East, were about to be deported to the Far East after the war, and that Birobidzhan might have figured in their future as an involuntary homeland.
Yeah. After World War II, there was a revival of the Birobidzhan experiment. And then beginning in 1948, Stalin launched this bloody purge of the Jewish intellectual and cultural elite throughout the Soviet Union. According to some accounts, and I never found any evidence of this, Stalin was planning another major purge of the Jews and was actually planning to resettle the several million Jews who lived in the Soviet Union after World War II.
Now, to what degree is there still a connection between this place in what is now the Russian Republic and the Jews?
Very little. I mean, I think most Soviet Jews and Russian Jews now, and I think quite appropriately, never took Birobidzhan seriously. When I talked about it, when they heard that I was studying it or even planning to go there, their first reaction would be to laugh or snicker, saying, you know, that had nothing to do with, you know, with the Jews. And to a large extent, they were correct. And right now, there isn't much connection. There's a very small Jewish presence there.
And about how many Jews actually live there at the most?
At the most, probably about 18,000, 19,000, and that's by the end of the 1930s.
You write that the Soviet gamble on Yiddish as the language of the Jews who would go to the Jewish Autonomous Region was it wasn't a shrewd one, because Jews in the Soviet Union, as you describe it, dealt with Yiddish as they did in the United States when they emigrated, even though this was the language of millions of Jews in Eastern and Central Europe. If they had the chance to assimilate linguistically, they did.
Absolutely, because you could study Yiddish up through high school, but there would be no way to go to university and study Yiddish there.
What is your sense of how sincere the Soviets were, or Stalin for that matter, was about trying to do something that would be good for the Jews, as opposed to trying to get them out of the old Pale of Settlement, where they were competing with Russians or White Russians or Ukrainians for land and influence?
I think they were serious, and I know a lot of emigres that when I've given talks or when I've talked to people about this say, you know, this was a deliberate plot by Stalin and his henchmen to subvert Jewish life and culture, to isolate them, create a new ghetto of Jews in the Soviet Far East. I just think they devoted too much energy, too much serious attention, too many resources to think to have this not work. I don't think they wanted a failure.
Well, Professor Weinberg, thank you very much for talking
with us. Well, thank you very much.
Historian Robert Weinberg of Swarthmore College spoke to us from member station WHYY in Philadelphia. His book about Birobidzhan is called Stalin's Forgotten Zion.